The last couple of days we've been talking about various aspects of Kriyas HaTorah. One of the things that's very fascinating about Kriyas HaTorah is that before we read from the Torah, we take it out of the Aron, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Sfardish HaGedolim, in the name of the Arizal and his Talmidim, that at the time that you take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh, you should recite the paragraph of Berich Shemei. So Berich Shemei is an interesting paragraph, and it comes from the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that at the time that we take the Sefer Torah out and we read it B'tzibur, the Zohar writes, Niftachim Sharei Shamayim Sharachamim. It's a special, auspicious time, and it's a time when we should offer a very unique tefillah because the Sharei Rachamim are open. This is what the Sharei Ephraim quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh, and that's why we have the practice of reciting Berich Shemei. So Rav Moshe famously discusses, now it's printed in the Art Scroll Siddur, when are you supposed to say Berich Shemei? So Rav Moshe is of the opinion that we're not really supposed to say when they open up the Aron Kodesh. You're really supposed to say once they take the Sefer Torah out. So you're supposed to say it from the time that the Sefer Torah is out of the Aron before they begin to read from the Sefer Torah itself. This is what Rav Moshe argues. Obviously, if you say it beforehand, probably you have the Sharei Shamayim on Niftachim anyway, but the best thing to do is to really recite it after the Sefer Torah is removed already from the Aron HaKodesh. Rav Chaim Vital, who was the great Talmud of the Arizal, writes that his Rebbe, the Arizal, was careful and always scrupulous to say the Tefillah of Berich Shemei on Shabbos. That's what he writes. He used to say it every Shabbos at the time that they took the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh. So the Chida quotes this in the Machzik Bracha, and the Chida says that he doesn't understand why there were those who disagreed with the Arizal. Reb Chaim Vital writes that his Rebbe used to say the Tefillah, used to say the Piyut on Shabbos, which sounds like he only said it on Shabbos. Says the Chida as follows, V'tema al Rabbanim Basroi. He says, I don't understand what's with the rabbis nowadays. Habayim lachlok al Rabbeinu ha'arizal b'pirush ha'zohar. The Arizal was the greatest person who understood the Zohar for all generations. He was the greatest one who had an understanding as to what the Zohar really meant to teach us. And therefore, if the Arizal says that you're supposed to say Berich Shemei on Shabbos based on his understanding of the reading of the Zohar, what right do people have to come along and argue with his reading in the Zohar? You want to argue with the Arizal? Argue with the Arizal, but don't argue with him in his area of expertise. Don't argue with him in a Zohar and how he understood Zohar HaKadosh. Asher kol dvarav divrei sod, everything that the Arizal talked about, everything the Arizal taught was divrei sod, it was hidden, all based on the Zohar. Umi sampeh, asher yomar ki huzeh kavanas hazohar. Who's going to come along and say that the Arizal's understanding of the Zohar was incorrect, and really Berich Shemei should be recited every day? Where do you get that from? The Arizal himself, as quoted by his Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital, only said it on Shabbos. Why would you come off to say that the Arizal is wrong and you should say it during the week as well? U'befrad al ha-makam asher diber b'kotcho ha-Arizal asher niglu alav elokim. We know that so many secrets were given to the Arizal. V'day bozeh u'may dinahigi hamoni Yisrael. So you'll tell me, what do you mean? You walk into any shul, everybody says Berich Shemei during the week as well. Must be that that's the proper custom, he says. You can't bring a riot just because every shul decided to do this on their own. That's not what the Arizal taught us to do. Therefore, this is not what we should be doing. So that's the opinion of the Chida, that we should follow strictly what is quoted in the name of the Arizal and only recite Berich Shemei on Shabbos and not during the week. However, other Sfardish Gedolim disagreed and said, no, Berich Shemei should be recited during the week and on Shabbos as well. And it's not that we're disagreeing with the Arizal, because the Arizal never meant to say that you should only recite Berich Shemei on Shabbos. When Reb Chaim Vital writes over from his Rebbe that Berich Shemei was recited on Shabbos, all he means to say is, don't think that since Bakashas Terachim on Shabbos is Aser, don't think that just because a person is not allowed to ask personal needs on Shabbos, therefore Berich Shemei should be taken out. My Rebbe the Arizal said it on Shabbos and he wasn't concerned. That's all he means. So for sure the Arizal said it during the week as well. But the Chiddush is that he said it on Shabbos also, and he wasn't concerned about Bakashas Terachim. So this is basically our practice, our minhag, that we recite Berich Shemei both on Shabbos and during the week, and we don't have any concern about She'elas Terachim on Shabbos, about asking for our own needs on Shabbos, for whatever the reason might be. Same way we ask for other things on Shabbos, and we somehow get out of the problem, so too, we are allowed to do this as well. Sfardim only say it on Shabbos. Ah, so they follow the Psak of the Chida. The Ben Ishchai is the one who argues in the Chida. He says, I don't know what he's talking about. Probably Rav Avadia went back to the old original before the Ben Ishchai. That would make a lot of sense. Maybe that's why the Sfardim only say it on Shabbos, because really, according to the strict reading of the Arizal from Rav Chaim Vital's writing, it would seem that they only say it on Shabbos, so that's why. In the paragraph of Berich Shmei, there is one line which is subject to a major, major controversy. And it was such a controversial line to the point that the Noda Behuda felt that because of this line, we should not say Baruch Shemei at all. There's something apikursus stuck in here, and therefore we shouldn't say it. What is that very controversial line? In the end, we say, Lo albar alahan semichna. We don't rely on anyone who is the Son of God. So what do we mean to say? Do we think that there's somebody who is appointed as the Son of God? Do we believe in Christianity that there's somebody who's God's Son? He's the one who we should be davening to, but now we tell him, now we say in our tefillah, no, lo albar alahan semichna. We're not going to rely on that person even though we know he exists. Therefore, said the Noda Behuda, there's something wrong with the whole Baruch Shmei. It should not be recited at all because something is off. How do we know this is a very horrible statement to say, Bar Alon Semichna? How do you know that to say that there's a Son of God that's such a apikursus kind of statement to recite? So that really comes from the story of Nebuchadnezzar. The Yerushalmi and the Midrashim tell us the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the one who wanted to throw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshan HaEsh. Now what happened? Nebuchadnezzar asked that everybody should bow down to the idols. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were the only three who chose not to listen to his order. Everybody else did. So he says, you know what, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you're being so brazen, you're not listening to my decree, I'm going to throw you into the ball of fire, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. That's what he does. He comes back 5 minutes later to see how long it took for them to die, and lo and behold, he sees them walking around, and he says to himself, I see that there are not three people, but there are four people walking around in the fire. Where did the fourth person come from? It looks like it's Bar Elohan. It looks like it's the Son of God who joined them in their tiyul, in their walking around in the fire. So the Medrash tells us that right away a malach came down, slapped Nebuchadnezzar on his face and said, how dare you say such a thing that there's a Son of God? How could you call anybody a Bar Elohan? Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar right away, as much of a Rasha as he was, he throws Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah into Ektan HaEsh. But Nebuchadnezzar realized he made a mistake. You should never say Bar Alon. And therefore, Nebuchadnezzar changed his terminology. He said, oh, it must be, it's God himself in there. It's not the Son of God together with them. So you see from that, Yerushalmi, that it's obviously a horrible thing to say that anybody is a Bar Alon, that anybody is referred to as the Son of God, because that would be some sort of hint to apikursus. And this is why the Noda Behuda raised an objection to the whole Baruch Shemei entirely. And therefore, there are those who don't say it. However, we generally do have the practice that we do say it. And in fact, the Zohar HaKadosh himself has that terminology of Bar Elohan. And I think the understanding is that we do have various psukim and Navi which talk about Bar Elohan, which do have such a phrase, which refers to somebody as the Son of God. What exactly is it referring to? It's referring to Malachim. Sometimes Malachim are referred to in Navi as the Bar Elohan. And that's probably what we mean as well when we say the Tefillah Baruch Shmei, La Bar Alon Smichna. We know that there are malachim in the world. We know that they're the messengers of God himself to do various things. But we don't rely on them. We rely on God himself. Be'alah d'shmaya. We rely on God himself and not on the Bar Alon. Not that we're apikursim for saying that, but rather that we don't believe that the malachim are the ones that were going to save us, rather that God will. The Noda Behuda, some suggest that because he lived at the times of Shabtai Tzvi, that's why he got so carried away about this problem over here, about this phraseology, because he was nervous that if you're going to start saying this, then someone's going to have the mistaken impression, maybe it means something else, and then they're going to say, maybe Shabtai Tzvi is the Son of God, and therefore he said, stay away from the whole paragraph, there's something wrong. But those of us who don't live in the times of Shabtai Tzvi, we shouldn't have a problem at all, because really this is referring to the Malachim, and we're trying to say that we don't believe that the Malachim are who we should rely on, rather we rely on God himself. At the very end of Kriyas HaTorah, after we finish reading, we have the practice of doing Hagbah. Now where is the practice of Hagbah emanate from? What is the source of Hagbah? So the Ramban has a famous comment in Parshas Kisavo, commenting on the Pasuk, Arur asher lo yakum es divrei HaTorah azos. Cursed is he who doesn't help to uphold the Torah itself. Now what exactly is that referring to? So the Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi in Maseches Sota, where the Yerushalmi asks, V'chiyesh Torah nofelis? Is there such a thing as a Torah that falls? That we say somebody that doesn't help to uphold the Torah is going to be cursed? What are we referring to here? Arur asher lo yakum es divrei HaTorah azos. What does it mean? So the Yerushalmi says it's talking about a chazan. She'eino mekim sefer Torah lahamidon kitiknon shelo yiplu. We're talking about a gabbai, and the gabbai of the shul is not doing his job. He's supposed to make sure at the end of the day that all the sefer Torah are lined up carefully, that nothing should fall out of the aron, and he's not doing his job properly. Arur, cursed is such a person who's not careful before leaving the shul to make sure that he did his job, to make sure that the sefer Torah are in the right place with the chains on them, that they shouldn't fall out next time we open the aron. Someone just asked me last week, they were in a community, and they took out the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, and the other Sefer Torah fell out because it wasn't properly secured into the aron. So this is what the Ramban says, B'shem the Yerushalmi, Arur asher lo yakum, cursed is a person who isn't careful to make sure that the Sefer Torah is carefully secured into the Aron HaKodesh. But the Ramban says, V'li nira. The Ramban says, yes, that's the Yerushalmi's interpretation. But says the Ramban, I think perhaps there's an added level of meaning to this pasuk as well. What is it referring to? It's referring to a chazan she'enu mekim sefer Torah ala tzibur laharos pnei ksivas olakol. Says the Ramban, we're talking about the chazan, we're talking about the Baal Korei, who doesn't uphold the Sefer Torah, laharos ksivas olakol, to show the letters, the beautiful writing of the Sefer Torah to everybody, kemosha mefurish b'mesecha sofim, sheyesh mitzvah lakol, liros haksav v'lechra v'lamar v'zos haTorah. Says the Ramban, the Mesecha Sofrim, which is at the times of the Mishnayos it was written, the Mesecha Sofrim writes that we're supposed to, after the Kriyas HaTorah, we're supposed to hold up the Sefer Torah, that everyone should look at it, everyone should say Vizos HaTorah, and therefore, says the Ramban, somebody who doesn't do Hagbah, somebody who doesn't show off the Sefer Torah and let everybody see it, they are what the Torah is referring to here of Arur Asher Lo Yakum Es Divrei HaTorah Azos. So that's really the Ramban's understanding of what that pasuk is referring to. The Mishnah Berurah points out from the Shari Ephraim that obviously Arur Asher Lo Yakum means when you're having someone do Hagbah, you're not allowed to ask somebody who's very weak, a young child who really can't balance the Sefer Torah, or somebody who's not strong enough to hold properly. That also would be part of Arur Asher Lo Yakum, because that's not proper Kavod HaTorah, to have somebody go up and make a joke out of the Hagbah, not hold it up properly to show everybody, is also not a good idea. Now again, the Shulchan Aruch says the point of the Hagbah is that everybody should be able to see the Sefer Torah. So sometimes they have somebody who does Hagbah, they just pick it up and sit right down. That's not really the proper minhag. The Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to turn around in all directions, that everybody should be able to see the Sefer Torah itself. And in fact, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal and the Shaar HaKavanos that somebody who looks carefully to see the Osios and is actually able to read one of the letters or a few of the letters of the Sefer Torah as we're doing the Hagbah, Magia Elav Or Gadol, says the Magen Avraham. You will have some very special bracha, a very special light that will come to you because you're careful to learn and to be able to see the letters as they are written in the Sefer Torah itself. So that's basically the story with Hagbah. When we say Vizos HaTorah, the Berhetiv writes you should say Vizos HaTorah only at the time that you see the Sefer Torah. So sometimes we're standing in a position where we cannot see the words of the Sefer Torah, we cannot see the letters. In a case like that, says the Berhetiv, one would not recite Vizos HaTorah at all. But he says, obviously, if you started at the time when you see, you can continue to say the line anyway. But it's important that we have to see the words in order to say Vizos HaTorah. It's known in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhiner that he also raised an objection to Vizos HaTorah. After all, you look through all of Chumash, you go and you Google the pasuk Vizos HaTorah Asher Samoshe, there is no such pasuk. This is a conglomerate of two different psukim. Vizos HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lefnei B'nei Yisrael, Api Hashem B'yad Moshe is part of a different pasuk. So where does this come from? How do we say two different halves of one pasuk when, in fact, the Gemara tells us that we are not allowed to do so? Kol psuka de lo paske Moshe Rabbeinu anan lo paskinan. Any time that Moshe Rabbeinu did not make a break in the pasuk, we are not allowed to do that either. So how do we break up two psukim here and all of a sudden make them into one if, in fact, that is against the rule that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Lamed Daled and that the Gemara tells us in Brachos, kol psuka de lo paske Moshe Rabbeinu anan lo paskinan. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, therefore, there must be something wrong. We shouldn't say the Vizos HaTorah as we know it. Soloveitchik said over that there were those who said a different pasuk, Vizos HaTorah Shasam Moshe, Lefnei B'nei Yisrael, Api Hashem Yachanu, V'Api Hashem Yiso, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamru, Api Hashem Yad Moshe. That's the real pasuk. That's really where it comes from. And therefore, Reb Soloveitchik said there were those who had the practice of saying that, which is what my father does, but I think the general practice is not to do that. Most people just say, as it says in the Siddur, Chafetz Chaim himself in one of the Svarim writes also, the Nusach as we have it, he doesn't have this long Nusach that Reb Chaim Volozhiner and others suggested, but be it as it may, that's an issue that's raised. How are we able to split up and take two halves of a Pasuk and recite them by Vizos HaTorah? I remember I was once at a shir that Rav Asher Weiss gave in Eretz Yisrael, and in the middle, I don't remember why it came up in the middle, he said that the people who stand there and specifically point their pinky at the Sefer Torah when they say Vizos HaTorah. So Rav Asher Weiss said, I'm a pretty big Talmud Chacham, I've been learning for a long time. I've never seen any source for why you should use specifically your pinky when they're holding up the Sefer Torah and doing the Hagbah at the end of Kriyas HaTorah. That's what he said. So he said that there are places where we say you should point, where it says Vizosa means, Zeh Keli Vanveya means they pointed at it, they were able to see. So he says maybe you want to point because it says Vizos HaTorah, but he doesn't understand why you do the pinky. So in the middle of the shir, this was amazing, he says over the story, so I said, okay, he must be right. In the middle of the shir, a guy jumps up, pulls out of his pocket a sefer from Reb Chaim Palagi. Now, most people have never even heard of Reb Chaim Palagi. This guy had it in his pocket. I don't know why. He, pulls it out, shows him the page where Reb Chaim Palachi says there's a reason to use your pinky specifically, not the regular index finger. So Rav Asher Weiss was blown away that somebody in the shir happened to have this, and he said, you see, you can be a big Talmud Chacham, but you never stop learning. You can always learn something from somebody. So that was a very interesting story that I remember. Somebody showed him Reb Chaim Palachi, right, so you should use your pinky. So I don't know what it's all about. I don't know anything about Reb Chaim Palachi's Svarim, but that's apparently what Reb Chaim Palachi writes. My father writes in one of his Svarim from Rav Soloveitchik that perhaps the reason why we say Vizos HaTorah Shosam Moshe Lefnei B'nei Yisrael, and then we say Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe, it's coming to emphasize two different points. When we hold up the Sefer Torah, we say Vizos HaTorah Shosam Moshe, that we believe that this is the Torah Shosav that was given from Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing has changed, and nothing is going to change. And then at the end we say Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe, that God gave over the right to Moshe Rabbeinu to institute Dinim D'Rabbanan as well. And this is a representation of all the Dinim D'Rabbanan, of all the Takanos, and we try to proclaim at the time of Kriyas HaTorah that we believe not only that this is authentic Torah Shebichsav, but we believe also that Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe, that the right was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu and to all the Talmidei Chachamim later on in generations as well, to also do that institution of Torah Shebal Peh and to have Takanos and Dinim D'Rabbanan. And this is something that we believe is also an authentic part of the Torah itself, and that's why we say perhaps these two parts of Izos HaTorah, number one on Torah Shebichsav, number two on Torah Shebal Peh. There is a machlokas, the Mechaber and the Ramah, when Hagbah is supposed to be done. Do we do the Hagbah before the Kriyas HaTorah, or do we do the Hagbah after the Kriyas HaTorah? Now the Mechaber, the Minig of the Sfardim, is really the proper practice, that you're supposed to do it before the Kriyas HaTorah. So why does the Ramah change the Minig? Why does the Ramah say that we Ashkenazim have the practice of doing it afterward? Where does that come from? The Maseches Sofrim, who tells us about Hagbah, says that you should do it beforehand. And the reason you do it before is to show everybody this is the parsha that we're up to, and everyone will correct you if you have the wrong parsha. If you open up to parshas Vayeschanan, everyone's going to say, I mean, assuming that everyone in the room knows which parsha we're up to and that everyone can read the Sefer Torah, everyone's going to stop you right away and say, no, 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 it's at the wrong parsha. You're going to change right before you start to lane. So why did the Ramah change the practice to do it afterward? So some Achronim say the reason why is because the Ramah realized that not everybody's around at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah. Everybody's in the hallways after Chazar Sashatz. They all went out for a break, a Kiddush club, but they're all going to come back in for Kriyas HaTorah. So once the Aliyahs are over, they're all going to be there and stay for the Hagbah. So therefore he says, that's why Berovam Hadras Melech, we're going to do this beautiful Minig of Hagbah at the end of Kriyas HaTorah. Einenu Ros, that's not the case. Nowadays, the second, the third Aliyah is over, if that much, people are zipping out of the shul, they don't want to stay any longer, they're never going to stay for the Hagbah Glila because they think that's not important. The whole reason perhaps why the Ramah said we should do the Hagbah and Glila at the end of Kriyas HaTorah is because he wanted that it should be Berovam Hadras Melech, because this is so important that we should have the Hagbah seen by everybody in the shul. It's so important that the Shulchan Aruch even writes, the person who's supposed to get Hagbah is really the Gadol Shebekulam. The greatest Talmud Chacham, the greatest person in the room, is the one who we should really give Hagbah to, because Hagbah is considered to be something that is an extra special activity that we do at the time of the culmination of Kriyas HaTorah. The Magen Avraham writes as well that when you're doing the Hagbah, you should open it up to at least three columns. People should be able to see at least three columns. And also he writes, the Mishneh Berurah and others, the Shulchan Aruch talk about this, that when you're doing the Glila, you should make sure that the Glila is going to be on a tefer, on a stitching, in order that in case the Sefer Torah rips for whatever reason, it will rip on the stitching and it won't rip at any point. Sometimes people are rough when they're doing the Hagbah and Glila. That's why we try to do the Hagbah and Glila on a stitch, so this way if something happens wrong, the Sefer Torah won't rip in the middle of a paragraph, it won't rip in the middle of a column, but it will rip on the edges. One last thing my father always likes to point out is that the Shulchan Aruch says as well, when you're doing the Glila, one should be careful that very often we have, let's say, a mantle around the Sefer Torah, so you put it in and then you do the clasp. So some people put it around the Sefer Torah, then they pull the Sefer Torah to them to close the clasp. But the Shulchan Aruch says the right way to do it is the opposite direction. You should put it around the Sefer Torah, and then you should have to bend in to close it on the inside. Am I being clear? If you put it around the Sefer Torah the other way, and then you pull the Sefer Torah to you to get it tightened and closed, that's not really respectful to the Sefer Torah. The Shulchan Aruch says you should do it the opposite way, and put the mantle around the Sefer Torah from the outside, and then you have to bend in. You have to exert energy to close it the right way it's supposed to be closed.